Blog Talk Radio.
Because a lot of the people I was out with last night had been drinking like all day. So I should have realized there was, like, no way they were going to hang out until, like, 4 or 4:30. So I figured if we hang out to 4 and 4:30, I wouldn't mind hanging out at Grand Central for, like, half an hour and then going home. But, of course, 2, 2:30, they're all like, all right, well, we're going to start, you know, heading out. And I'm like, oh, now I'm stuck here for 3 hours. What's that?
It's more than 3 hours, isn't it?
No, the first train came at like 5:39. By the time I got to Grand Central, I mean, I had some pizza and hung out, and by the time I got there, it was like 3.
Okay, well, let's start with one of the comments that you made about women born in the 90s are involved. Women, and I use that term loosely, born in the 90s range from illegal to in their early 20s.
All right. Technically, these two particular. Well, here's the thing: the two girls who were making out. I'm not even call it making out. Who kissed? One of them was there with her boyfriend, so that's like persona non grata number one to begin with. So that wasn't like an issue.
So that was your first mistake.
Why is that a mistake?
Well, I mean, if you're lamenting the fact that this kiss happened.
I wasn't lamenting that happening. I was lamenting not leaving after it happened. Like this happened like when one of the girls was getting ready to leave, like at 1 o'clock or whatever. And at that point, that was when like the last train. I think the last train was at like 1:50 or something like that. So at that point, I should have been like, all right, I'm gonna get out of here too. But instead, I'm like, oh, maybe I had this mistaken theory that people were gonna stay out super late. And they didn't. So I was lamenting staying out. I wasn't lamenting the kiss thing. I was lamenting being out and being stranded basically for 3 hours. Because I was dumb. That was my own fault.
So let me ask you a question. What would you have to lose by pulling out your dick and sticking it between the two girls while they're making out at this point?
Well,
considering... I don't really understand the post too well. You had two chicks make out for you, is that what?
I didn't have them make out for me. Like, one of the girls was leaving. Well, here's the backdrop. The backdrop is that my friend Laura, who is one of these girls, is leaving. She's moving. She's leaving. There's a bunch of people from work. So she's leaving, so she was having her going away party last night. Like, she's there with her boyfriend and with a bunch of other people. So... we're all hanging out, and at one point, this other girl, like I said, this other girl is getting ready to leave at, like, 1 o'clock, and, she, you know, they're doing their whole, like, emotional thing, and they're like, oh, I'm going to miss you so much, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, she goes to give her, like, a peck and a hug goodbye, and I said, oh, come on, that's not a real goodbye kiss. And they were like, you're right. And then all of a sudden, they just started, like, kissing. So they were hanging out for me. A little bit, yeah.
Oh, see, now, okay. But see, you do realize that the only thing you were going to get out of that scenario was possible masturbation fodder to begin with.
Well, right, and to be honest with you, I said it as a joke just because I'm a pervert, and I didn't expect them to actually, like, take into account or roll with it. I was just being an asshole, like, normal. And so when they did start kissing, I was like, oh, okay, this is nice to watch for a few minutes, 3 seconds. But then one of the guys, because it's funny, because, like, we've all seen... chicks make out a million times. Like, it's not a big deal. It's always nice, but it's not like a big deal. But then this one guy who, again, all these people that I was hanging out last night are like 10 years younger than me, and this one guy behind me is like, oh my god, that was awesome, how did you do that? And I was like, oh my god, just stop.
Because chicks will do that all the time. I mean,
right,
chicks do that to each other.
Like,
it's not,
you know,
yeah.
We didn't always know this kind of thing, so maybe I helped a young man out for future I don't know. So that was basically what happened. Like I said, it wasn't a very exciting story.
Jesus Christ, Mike. I just tagged us on that picture, and you right away. Do you have, like, a separate device for Facebook, Mike?
Me?
No, what do you
mean? Why?
Because you already liked the thing that I tagged 2 seconds ago.
I'm reading Mick's profile as we're doing the show.
Oh.
I'm reading his profile, and I like something that
can feed into them, to his eyeballs.
Well, what did you put on there?
I tagged us in the photo that you have on your.
He tagged us in the questionable intelligence report photo.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So here's the thing. So you, I guess technically you facilitated it, but why was it not hot? Because you weren't going to get anything out of it?
Why was I what? Why was it not hot?
Yeah, why was it not hot?
Well, like I said, maybe it wasn't not hot, but like all the other times, like I've watched chicks make out, usually it was either someone that I was like, you know, hanging out with or dating or whatever. You know what I mean? So it just seems like in those circumstances, I felt like, oh, well, you know, if we can incorporate this into some other situation.
Well, I wanted to call you to task here because I think you're a – I think you failed the cult of ass lesbianism last night, and I'd like to explain why.
Okay.
Lou and I have long maintained that that chicks making out with each other is kind of pointless. Like, if two chicks are going to make out with each other in a bar, I mean, like, they're not going to go down on each other, and that's not facility. Unless they're going to do that, that's not really helping our cause, you know, and
let's face
it, at this point, none of us have anything to look forward to as milestones in our lives, other than possibly being able to bring ass lesbianism to the forefront of American culture and possibly the world. So the least, I mean, at least it was a step in the right direction. I think your main mistake here was waiting until the end of the night to start suggesting things like that. You saw an opportunity, and I'm proud of you for that.
I'm very proud
of you for pushing that out.
Like
there.
I said, I wasn't even really trying to put, like, I wasn't trying to be,
I happened to make an offhand remark,
and they rolled with it, which is fine.
What did you say, Liv?
That's what Mike is saying. That you all night you weren't doing that. That's what you should have been doing.
Right.
Yeah, you failed. You dropped the ball, Nick. I mean, this is something
what
that if you're going to be a priest of ass lesbianism, and I believe that you have the potential to be. This is a lifestyle, Nick. This is not something that you just you know casually toss out.
Right.
When you feel like it, you know. Again, I'm glad that you seized that opportunity, but I mean that's something that you have to work on from the moment you encounter more than one attractive female in the same place at the same time.
My brain is going here, so let me just spit out that we should probably implement some kind of sales culture to our religion. You know what I mean?
Maybe like a pyramid, so like a multi-level marketing.
One of those, you know, what is the what do they call it? So, what is that new marketing instead of a pyramid scheme? It's a what marketing?
Multi-level marketing. Yeah.
Multi-level
selling.
Marketing.
Yeah. MLM.
So we should just have how they have the sales video and the meetings. And everyone dresses up, and they go, and, oh, I got these ass lesbianisms this month to do this. And we condoms and lubricants.
I like it. You got to come up with some sort of formula for this. I like it.
Totally.
And
we've converted as many, you know, and they win trips to, you know, Las Vegas, Thailand, you know, sexual far-off places.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree with that. I'm not sure exactly. I feel like at the top of the pyramid there'd have to be a male or an ass lesbian priest, which, I mean, I would really prefer if there were no more males other than the three of us involved in this cult. I mean, and I feel like the three of us is, you know, that's more than enough. I don't even like either of you.
Yeah,
if I could create this cult by myself, I would.
Right.
I mean, the simple fact that you guys have penises is enough for me to discard you. in-ass lesbianism. There's no reason
And you guys are the founding fathers. I'm merely an apprentice trying to work his way up.
Well, I mean, you're as far as I'm concerned, you're an enthusiastic acolyte.
I mean, you're somebody who
took to the scripture very, very quickly.
Right.
And you know, you show a lot of promise.
What does that say about our pyramid scheme? Instead of two going into, like, four, it's two of us and we only have one.
Well, right now it's an inverted pyramid. This is what's happening right now, and Mick
very
is at the top, which is now the bottom. Yeah, so it's very precariously balanced, and there's nothing supporting it at all, and it often falls over. I mean, let's face it, we have to prop it up pretty regularly.
Right.
The problem is that we haven't captured the demographic that we really need to explore as lesbianism, which is the lesbians. That's what we're missing at this moment. Mm.
Interesting.
And we should what was that lady who was a lesbian and she had a woman's guide to anal sex?
Oh, Tristan Tormino.
Kristen Toramina, there we go.
You forgot her name. You own every one of her videos.
All right, I even met her and had to sign a book, but you know.
You've got a fucking shrine to her built in your living room.
I even tapped her on the back saying, "Oh, thank you for your work." She thought
she really did though. Like
guy. She like moved away in disgust. Like, oh, all right, yeah.
Like he loved her work at getting fucked in the ass so much that he actually went to one of her seminars. He's the exact opposite of the clientele that she's looking to speak to.
Yeah. Oh man, it was all packed full of dykes. Mostly full dykes. She was one.
Well, I mean, during your gay vampire days, you could have passed for one.
Yeah, I guess so. Man, cities and all.
So Mick, the thing is, yeah. Mick, is that and Lou, let's expand upon that really quickly. So in order to get this pyramid selling, this multi-level marketing thing, the whole premise behind that is that everyone has to recruit other people.
Right.
And they have to keep recruiting. It's basically there's no end game. The reason that pyramid schemes don't work is because there's no end game. There's no like, okay, at this point we stop and just make money. You have to recruit other people and make sure that they make money, and then they have to recruit other people and make sure that they make money. And that kind of has to keep going, which is not, the reason it's illegal is because it's not a solid business model. There's no way to support that. Like, at some point, there's got to be the buck has to stop somewhere. If you can't recruit people anymore, then the whole chain falls apart.
Right.
So we have to, let's face it, none of us are going to reinvent a business model. We're not capable of that. But we have to, in order to get our product across, we have to make it attractive enough. And you know what? Actually, there might not need to be an end game in sight because, I mean, new women are born every day. I mean, they're created. There's an endless – we have an endless supply of consumers here.
Right. Literally.
51% of the population is on our side, potentially.
Exactly.
Every year there's a woman turning of age, so every day.
What we need to do then is we need to train at least one priestess to completely encompass everything we believe about ass lesbianism. To the point where every ass that she eats is a convert.
Yeah. Right.
And brother.
She's got to eat ass so well.
Who would be worthy of such a role as high priestess?
I would say Tristan Tormino off the top of my head.
Hmm.
Maybe Nina Hartley. Maybe I can get Nina Hartley in on this.
It's a possibility. She's looking a little, you know, weathered.
I can't stand the way she talks.
Yeah, I hear you on that one, too. It was tolerable when she was young. And
I know. She's annoying.
I think it's Belladonna.
Well, Belladonna would be the high priestess.
Yeah.
Yes, Belladonna would. Belladonna is the inspiration for this religion. Like we created this because of Belladonna.
Right.
She's the John the Baptist to our.
She is the Christ. She's the Christ figure in ass lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have a woman trained so well that she converted every ass that she ate.
Right.
And then, in turn, they would learn from her and then go on to eat other asses and create more ass lesbianist priestesses.
But I also think as far as demos go, I think we should market, you know, I think we got to hit, like, the colleges and that sort of demographic. I think they're the target audience.
Absolutely.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree because as much as I would love to watch college girls eating each other's butts, I don't think college girls have the kind of dedication that is needed for a life of ass lesbianism. Somebody like, you know, maybe out of college who's more interested in, I mean, because college girls, they might love sex, but they're not interested in being good at it.
Well, yeah, but it could be like a hazing ritual for a sorority.
We could definitely add college girls to the masses that we need to worship at this religion.
Right.
I mean, they would definitely, yeah. So in that instance, I agree. I think that is a good demographic for fodder for the religion.
Yes.
Could even go so far as to start at high school proms. Yeah.
You know. See, the problem that I foresee is that this religion could really get away from us. We could create something, and not only would we wind up being denied sex by the opposite sex, but we could also have it kind of co-opted by them.
Mm.
And we could be, I mean, you know, at some point we could be completely reduced to a non-participatory role.
We could be on the outside looking in.
Not cool at all.
No, that's not cool at all. That's kind of the opposite of why I wanted this religion to take off in the first place.
Write in the charter or whatever it is.
Maybe we could write into the charter that we're never allowed to be disavowed from the religion. We're never allowed to be excommunicated, ever.
I was going to say, that's a tough sell, because we don't want to be, I mean, they can always overthrow us if it comes down to that.
I know, or they could start like a subsect, like Lutheranism and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Not cool.
They have to get some really, like, devout devotees.
I think we just
hold everybody else to check.
Can be like Gaddafi, have like, you know, trained female assassins.
Yeah. Definitely.
Secret police, Gestapo to enforce.
Yeah, I I'm totally fine with this becoming an oppressive religion and having an oppressive religious state like Israel.
Theocracy? We need it to be a theocracy at some point.
Yeah, this yes.
Utah.
I'm fine with you know, having ass lesbianist warriors that fight for, you know, land that they never really owned in the first place, and then create, you know, a non-secular state like Israel.
Right.
What would the ass lesbianist Israel be called?
Oh, damn.
I don't even know.
Belladonna. We just call it. How about Belladonnaville? We have an entire country called Belladonnaville.
The capital is Venice.
I like it.
Belladonna, D.C. The capital.
Belladonna Town.
United Asses of Belladonna. We can work it out, I'm sure.
But, okay, so since we've explored that, Nick, I want to go back to some of your comments here. I have some skills. They just never translate to me having orgasms, particularly when women born in the 90s are involved. Ha ha. So my question to you is, why in your lamentation did you immediately jump straight to having orgasms with that? Like, why didn't you say they just never translate to me, you know, having sex with them? Why did you go straight to the...
I could have, and I should have.
Is it because, Mick, that there's never really any sex involved between you and women? Is it that you just kind of, they touch you and you just have an orgasm? Is that really what happened?
No, it's the opposite. We just fuck for hours and hours, and I can't get off no matter what happens.
I don't believe that, though. I think the evidence is to the contrary. I think
not supporting that theory. Okay.
I think the reason you brought up orgasm is because when those two girls made out, you had an orgasm.
That is not true. Untrue. No, but I'm saying, like, listen, I don't have game. We all know this, but like, I have like a million times. I've got there's plenty of times where I've like gotten girls to like, you know, make out with me in a bar.
But here's the thing, though. Louis and I disagree with you that you don't have game. I mean, it's the evidence
well,
is
no,
really.
I
mean,
great. Just saying he's got.
Well, here's the thing, though, because I mean, look, the evidence is pretty overwhelming that you do not have game. I'd say most of the time you have the opposite of game. You actually cock block the people around you with your lack of game. Like, your lack of game is so bad that you actually have negative game, and the people around you have to kind of give you game points in order to level everything out.
A black hole of game where all these constellations are being sucked in. These bright, beautiful, shining games are being sucked into.
In order to balance you out, like, you need, like, a pickup artist to be around you, and neither one of you are going to get laid, but you're not going to get hated either. Like, it's a zero-sum game.
You'll walk out of the bar alive.
Yes. However, and Lou is very fond of bringing this up, and this is something that he's probably more amazed. Well, no, actually, the more I think about it, the more I'm amazed by it. Is that Lou and I leave you for like a minute or two, and we come back, and there's a girl sucking on your fingers. This happened. We've seen this happen.
Should I be insulted that the level of amazement this happened?
Yes, of course you should, but I don't care if you're insulted. Mick, if you're insulted by that, then, you know, I mean, you should be crying by some of the other shit that's been said on the show.
But see, that's my point, and that has happened, maybe not to that level, but that has happened enough times, and, like, hardly ever has it led to me and the girl fucking.
But that's the point. It doesn't have – it's not a – look, man, the secret to it's no secret, but the secret to being able to land broads is that you can't expect everything to turn out into sex. You just can't.
True.
It's a matter of having enough options out there that one will catch. You throw the net wide, Mick, and one fish will catch.
I understand that.
But that's how it works for me with comedy. That's how it works for me with women. You throw a bunch of shit out there, and I say a whole bunch of crazy shit, and hopefully one of those things is funny. And it's enough to make you think, hey, maybe he'll say something funny again.
Right.
And that's not the way it works. You have to wait a long time for the funny things to be said. But that's how it is with women. So you put enough feelers out there, and trust me, Mick, you've got more than enough feelers. We've all seen that. You put enough feelers out there, and one of them will catch. You have to cultivate all of them, and you have to know when one of them.
Don't disagree with your logic. My point is, like, last night was the first night I've gone out in like months because I'm old and I'm poor, as you can sympathize with. So it's different. Like, you know, when I used to go out one or two times a month, it was a lot easier to just, you know, brush off a bad night. Not even a bad night, but whatever, as opposed to when you're going out, like, four times a year at this rate. You know what I'm saying?
I get that, but I think what I'm trying to say is that you do have game. It, granted, it might be buried beneath layers of fat and self-hatred, but it's there.
Right. Well, thank you. No,
So my question to you is why is it so difficult for you to pull that out? It's not that you have no game, but I think you get it, like, stuck in the cycle where you just of like just self defeat and hatred and you know, sad masturbation and you know, masturbatory shame afterwards and all that stuff.
I might say a suggestion here. You know, like, your game is not MLB. It might be cricket. But you know what? You go to the minors, and the minors is actually black chicks. Go talk to black chicks.
He's not even kidding. Like, this is
racially.
You and I have both honed our craft on black chicks. I'm not even joking.
And this is why, because they're open to any crazy shit they say. And mostly, I think, well, Mike has had luck with black women, but not for a long time, and I never have luck with any black chicks. You know you're not going to go anywhere, so you can say any crazy shit, and their ears are used to crazy shit. So you practice on, whatever comes
That's
to your
point.
Mouth, and you sharpen your skills.
That's a good point.
No, I still have pretty good luck with black chicks. I still do, actually.
Well, I mean, that's
it's
more late 30s, but yeah, you know, when we were in our 20s, we talked to black girls and we couldn't get nowhere.
Yeah, but see, I never bagged a black girl until I was in my 30s.
That's what I mean.
But that's the thing, Nick. Like, that's what you practice on, because you and her both know that there's no chance of you sleeping with her, like, whatsoever.
Right.
But that's what makes it so great, because every once in a while they fall for it. But that's a different thing altogether. But if you practice on people who you just really have no interest in, then it helps you hone your game. Like, not only are they open to that shit, but when you say something that's retarded and they call you on it, You don't really, like, it's not as embarrassing, and you can just kind of roll with it and say something better after that.
Oh, that's totally true, and there used to be, like, a running gag back in the day about how, like, fat chicks were in love with me for basically the same reason, because I really didn't care what I said or what I did, and then, like you said, a lot of them fell for it.
Exactly.
Well, I think one of the issues that gets in the way with you is that you know, these days the kind of shit that you say, especially in the workplace, could get you fired, arrested, and
I don't
possibly
do that anymore,
and possibly deported.
Possibly deported, and you're American.
They're American.
We think.
Get sent to G-Bay. No, my main issue, we were having this conversation a couple weeks ago with my cousin, and he's like, basically, you just need to, like, you know, put yourself out there more, which is 100% true. However, and like I said before, like, you can attest to this, I went out last night and spent, like, $100. Like, I can't be doing this shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm poor.
But, Nick, see, that's the thing, though. Like, I got laid even when I was broke.
Yeah.
If I could, you know, give you a suggestion, Nick. I mean, I'm no one to talk, but
I don't know, dude. Your wife is pretty good looking. You know, I think you got.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you also married her, so that kind of undercuts anything else you might say after that. But
no, I'm just saying you need a shtick. You know, be some kind of shtick. I don't know, like
trendy or hipster look. You know,
now you're trying to get them into gimmicks.
No, I can't.
Exactly. It's gotta be. It's just the way it is.
Well, I never had a gimmick.
Oh yeah.
I never had a gimmick. I guess you could play up the shit that you already, I mean, Mick, you're the guy who likes sports and works for a not-for-profit. You don't even have to tell them what you do. You could just say, yeah, you know, I work for a not-for-profit. And we help people.
Oh, yeah, I know. Girls, I've talked to enough girls that like that. Yeah.
Mike works for a not-for-profit. He saved the world.
Say I saved the world, you know, and I wear a cape. That's my gimmick. That's my fucking shtick right there.
Something.
Totally. You could be the crazy guy who walks around naked from the waist down, Mick. That could be you.
I don't think anybody wants that.
That kind of is you already, but I'm saying you can make that your shtick. Just make things that you already do your shtick.
Yes. I got you. I understand what you're saying. What I mean is I got to make the net wider, like you said.
You know what, too?
It's not. You don't have to spend money to get chicks. I'm telling you right now, you don't.
No, I know
because
that.
I nailed some pretty hot broads even when I was living in my mom's house and broke and sleeping on a fucking futon in the spare room. What you just have to do is you just have to be places. Like, if you just wind up sitting in cafe, like, I mean, you know, you go to a fucking cafe and just sit there and you have a laptop, go to a fucking cafe and play on your laptop. You know, watch sports on your laptop at a fucking cafe or so. You just have to be where people are and not masturbate. That's really important.
I was going to say, but then when they see the X videos, they're going to be like, what is this guy doing?
That's the only thing you know how to look up. Your search engine is actually just the search box on X videos.
They created an X videos browser specifically for Mick. He's the only one in the world with an X videos browser. It's just a search bar that pops up on his laptop when he starts it up.
Oh man.
Strangely enough, though, the most searched for word on Mick's X videos box is bat wings.
Untrue. That's false.
Cosplay.
Oh man.
So okay, Mick. So I think we've worked through your issue a little bit. You did not start your ass lesbian.
Apprenticeship
conversion early in the night, which is what you should have done.
Right.
I mean, come on! Like, what is the purpose of making out with a chick right before you leave, other than to just show guys stuff? We don't care about just showing guys things. We want to see vaginas. We want to see faces and asses.
Yeah.
I mean, the end goal is to have chicks eating each other's butts in front of us. I mean, that's really
Agreed.
What this religion is about.
Of course. I'm with you.
But
like I said, I'll start planting the seeds earlier in the night next time.
Yeah, you need to do that.
But aside from the fact that I don't go out much because I'm broke, it's also way too fucking cold to go out. I almost froze to death last night.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, so what did you wind up doing between the time that you whined and the time that you went home?
I fell asleep in a bank. That's pretty much it. I walked a lot.
You know what, though? I mean, seriously, why does Metro North do that, man? That's horrible.
I don't know. I mean, I could have been a cheap bastard. I could have like taken like the subway to like, you know, 241st or something, and taken a cab. But
yeah, I guess you could have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 241st is not far from. Not far from us.
No, not
241st is pretty close to where I live, actually.
Yeah. I actually probably should have done that now that I think of it. But I don't even know what time the subways are. I don't even know what time the subways are running at that point.
But I mean, you know, the whole the whole idea, I guess, that they should. I mean, I've been in that situation before too, where you know I couldn't catch a train back after a certain time, and I had to wait for the next one. Nick, isn't that what happened when we went out that night for your birthday with Armand and Louis? Didn't you have to wait for the train to start running
planes,
again?
Right?
I guess it's just they don't have enough business. I mean, you know, basically if they ran trains all night, their main clientele would be a couple of douchebags from Mount Vernon who spent the night in light planes and drunk Mexicans.
Pretty much. My only issue with Grand Central is that I did that back in the day a couple of times, and you could at least go into the building itself.
You can't go into Grand Central during the off hours?
No. At least not the main entrance. I don't know if you could have gone around the side somewhere. But like
really?
A couple times back in the day, like I went in the main entrance, and then they have like the other part, the main part, gated off, and then they left the gate.
That's the way it used to be. You could Grand Central was open 24 hours a day.
I could not get in. Like the doors were locked.
Holy shit! That's not even right, dude.
So I just went across the street.
To be fair, the last few times I've been at Grand Central during operating hours, like there were lots of bums.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I get why they do it. Like, I mean, you know, but like for me, I was just I basically have to go across the street and hang out with the bum in the bank. Although if the bum is in the bank, he can't really be that much of a bum.
Well, like, what the fuck was the bank doing? Was it like an ATM vestibule?
But it was like a big, but it was like a big lobby. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like a lobby with like 3 ATM.
I really wish somebody peed on you while you were asleep.
Someone may have. I don't know. I can't for sure say that didn't happen.
I'd like to say that I feel like I facilitated someone getting laid because I was lazy and didn't want to take them home. And told them, no, you should hang out because of that whole thing. It was a
What was this?
A while back. What was that? Years ago. At this point.
Was that at the Parkside? Was that when I banged that chick from the Parkside?
No. That was another time. That we were all hanging out, and that girl. I forgot her name. Where you were like, it's getting close to 1 o'clock, and I was like, no, you should hang out. You know, you seem to be.
Yes. Mick was there. Mick, you were there for that.
Yeah.
Wait. So what happened?
We were down the city. My friend Trista and her boyfriend Brian came in from Los Angeles, and we were all hanging out in the city. Louis had his convertible.
It's 1 o'clock. Take me up to because they had passed already at like 1 o'clock. Like 1:30.
Yeah, I don't know if I owe you for me getting myself laid. But
I think I did because you were like, you got to take this up, and I was like, no, man, you got a chance with this girl.
Yeah, I was about to leave with you, and you were like, no.
And I was like, I don't want to go to Westchester now. I was like, I was like, what are you talking about? Look at this. Unbelievable.
I don't think the reason you wanted to leave was so that I could get laid. I mean, let's throw that out there.
I told you, I blew smoke up your ass thinking, you were going to be up all night wandering the streets just like Nick would.
I just wanted to go straight home instead of going up north and then coming back across again.
Right.
And look how
right.
How it turned out.
Mick, what happened to you? Did you leave with Louis that night, Mick?
No, I went to that couple's house.
Oh, Tracy and Sam. You stayed at Tracy and Sam's house. That's right.
Sam was finally vomiting the whole way home, and we were just like, I was just like, oh my god, get me out of this place.
I was fucking the shit out of her.
Nice.
You guys were dealing with puke, and I was banging the hell. And I mean, honestly, like that time obviously wasn't great, but she was the best sex I've ever had in my life. Like
really?
Later, like the 20, like the 22 straight hours of sex that I had, like no food, just Gatorade and sex.
Yeah.
Like that was with her.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, I guess, I mean,
you
know,
give,
I might
give Louis a little assist for that.
I what?